This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Hello, how are you today?
Hi, I'm very good, thanks.
That's good. Who are you?
My name's Daniel, and I'm a 19-year-old homo from Palmerston North.
Fun! That's a good description. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm currently studying ICT at UCOL, but I'm primarily a singer. I'm doing ICT in hopes to get a career, and that will give me some money, and then maybe play pubs on the weekends and just do music, because music's my passion.
Yeah. Oh, music's more like your hobby in a way.
Music's my hobby, but I want it to be a hobby that I make money off, which would be very, very cool.
That would work quite well.
Yes, it would, but unfortunately it's harder than you might think.
Why is that?
There's a lot of competition in cities like this. I've got some friends who have made it in big bands, but it's hard to break out as a solo artist just because, well, for one, I can't play guitar or piano for shit, so it's quite hard to accompany myself. But yeah, generally you need to be a big band and you need to play what the audience wants instead of what you like to play.
So big bands and round palmy fielding would be Evermore.
Evermore, yes, that's the most famous band, but there's a few around here. There's the Blue Grizzly Band, which is formed up of mostly all of my friends from my old music course, and they're doing pretty well. They recently won $1,000 off the Battle of the Bands, and yeah, they're probably the biggest name in Palmy that I know right now.
Currently,
yes. Yeah. It's kind of shifting, so one might get to the top and then fall suddenly.
Yeah. So, did you went to the QSA last week?
Yes, I was one of the facilitators there who attended the QSA workshop, and we learned valuable tools about starting up QSA groups inside actual schools. However, there was a bit of information that wasn't really relevant to me, seeing as I've left conventional high school, and it's kind of hard to apply some things learned to UCOL and other tertiary institutes.
Yeah. So, what is your sex?
I am a boy, I am a man.
You're a man.
Grr.
So, when I say gender identity, do you know what that means?
I identify in every sense of the word as a man. I'm both physically and gender identify as a boy.
And what? And your sexuality is gay?
Yes, I am a complete homo.
Yes. A complete homo! What is your culture identity?
That's a tough one. I'm both Irish and Māori. I'm about 50% Māori, though you wouldn't know what to think of me, or look at me there. But I generally identify as Irish, as I've got more ties to the culture there, and it's a lot easier than saying I want to claim everything as mine. Yeah, I pretty much identify as Irish, but I'll acknowledge the Kiwi a lot.
Yeah. And when you like hear people playing Irish music, you just go into a bit of a...
There was this one time when I was down in Wellington with some friends, and a busker was playing a bit of a jig on his violin, and I just looked at my friends and we knew instinctively what to do. So we started walking up to him, and we just erupted into this random sort of jiggy dance, and we started dancing around while he was playing the violin and people clapped. It was a lot of fun.
It's not often you get that.
No, it's not, but I prefer to do what I feel like as opposed to worry about what other people think of me in the heat of the moment. Like, finding a location for this interview was hard because I was worried about personal content, but I don't care what other people think of me just by looking at me or looking at something what I'm doing.
So what is, how do you express yourself in a feminine, masculine, camp, twink, bear, any of those?
Well, unfortunately, and I only say unfortunately because I dislike the stereotypes, I would probably fit into the twink category, but I prefer myself as just a normal guy. I can sometimes be feminine, I can be sometimes masculine. There are a lot more straight acting times than camp times, but I don't like thinking things like hair colour or clothing should define what you think yourself as.
So when did you first realise that you had an attraction to another male?
That's an interesting story. Basically, I was 12 years old, and it was just after Christmas when my mum had bought me a brand new phone, and it wasn't that great. It was a little old colour phone that didn't have a camera, but I was in love with it. And what ended up happening was I ended up going onto a chat room with the phone's data and just talking to people, and then you could only have very limited usernames, and there was a guy there who only had the username gay. And I'd never talked to or heard of a gay person before, so I was curious. And then I remember messaging him saying, "Are you really gay?" And he messaged me something along the lines of, "No shit, Sherlock, how did you possibly guess?" But talking with him just led me to figure out some things about myself and gradually discover that I was in fact gay and that I didn't like girls in that way.
Hmm. Was there a moment in time where you were like in the class looking across the room and you notice a guy that you never expect that you were slightly attracted to?
Oh yeah, definitely. But in my case, that guy happened to be my teacher.
Oh!
Yeah, I know, but in my defense, he was quite young for a teacher. He was 23, and he was teaching drama at the time, and yeah, I just thought he was very, very attractive. I don't want to say his name in case anyone might know him, but yes, I had a big crush on him for a while.
So you never went for a denial period at all, didn't you?
Well, I kind of did. See, I had a bit of a complicated situation. I sort of came out of the closet to everyone but my mother and my family. I came out to my brother and my friends and stuff like that. But I got so much flack for it, I just stopped talking about it and essentially went back into the closet, and everyone just kind of forgot. Like, the gay jokes were gone, they kept joking about girls and stuff like that, and I ended up getting a girlfriend. I use air quotes because you can't see me, but I ended up getting a girlfriend for a month or two until I just decided, fuck this, I am who I am, to quote the famous song, and yeah, I just didn't want to keep lying anymore.
That's quite interesting. I've never actually heard someone that came out and then went back in.
Yeah, it was a weird situation. This was in Ireland, and I was in quite a Catholic community, so there was a lot of negative stigma attached to being gay at the time, well, at that age, rather, just because they hadn't really experienced homosexuality for themselves, so they're going off notions that they might have received from their ministers or their parents, that it was just bad or be something to maybe something to be made fun of.
So, you were born in Ireland?
I was born in New Zealand, but in 2003, my brother and I moved over to Ireland to live with our mum, and then we moved back to New Zealand in September of 2008.
So this went backwards and forwards a bit.
Yep.
Yeah, so you went to high school in Ireland?
Yes, I went to a Catholic school called St. Patrick's Grammar School, which is essentially an all-boys school until the final year when they started letting girls in. And it was an interesting experience. It's definitely a hell of a lot better than the school I went to in Masterton. And there was a wider range of subject choices, except religious education was compulsory, and I didn't like that. Because I'm not a very Catholic person.
Yeah, not just that, you don't really want to be forced upon with religion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you came out twice, in a way.
Yes, essentially. When I say coming out, I just would start saying it to some friends. The first time, I mean, I'd just start slipping it into conversations with friends, and they'd generally like pick up on it. I don't think I ever actually had to say I'm gay or I like boys. I would just say certain things that would imply it, and then they would say it.
Well, kind of like, I noticed that it was a cute guy over there, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And yeah, I essentially just got a lot of flack from it from certain people. And there was a period of time where I had a few major bullies over in Ireland, and one bully He never beat me up directly. What he would do is he would beat up anyone who talked to me.
Mm.
So I couldn't have friends inside of school hours for fear of them getting beaten up. So I was always quite isolated when it came to inside school. And so I just stopped talking about it in case it slipped out and the word somehow got to him and his behaviour might escalate to something I didn't really want to deal with.
That's kind of smart for a bully, when you think about it.
Yeah, he was slightly psychotic. He put up a video on Google Videos, and it was 7 minutes of him tying down a cat he stole from his neighbourhood to this big piece of wood, tying each of its legs down to the corners and shooting it with a BB gun.
Poor cat.
A cat, yes, he shot it with a BB gun, and that was disgusting. And he expressed in class a desire to go into the army, which I found hilarious.
Well, at least he'll have practice.
Exactly, I suppose.
Yeah. I do not I do not encourage people doing that at all.
No.
I just like to add.
No, oh god. Cats are like one of my favourite animals, and if I ever hear of anyone doing it again, I'm going to beat the shit out of them. I'm not the timid little scared kid I was when I was 12.
Hmm. Yeah, you gotta love the cats.
Definitely. If you don't love cats, you don't have a soul.
Yeah.
I keep staring into the microphone part of this, expecting there to be a camera.
It's looking at you.
Yeah, it's like it's got a little face.
Play with me. Oh, it's like upside down. Play with me.
Maybe.
Yeah, that was a bit French.
Maybe.
Anyway, so when you came back to New Zealand, what was that like for you?
It was quite difficult because the reason we had to move back was because our mother had passed away. And it was quite difficult adjusting to that fact when we were only 15. But yeah, we managed to get through it, and we started a new school, but the school we started was called Makoto College, and that's not a very good school.
Yeah, I'm looking away because I know what that school is like.
Yes, Makoto College is a very low decile school to the listeners, and it's technically referred to as the dropout school of Masterton, where all the kids who cause trouble, who can't be fucked doing any work, or who just can't afford it, go to school. And one of the things that really annoyed me about the school was the lack of dedication for discipline from the teachers.
So, you came out, in a way, a third time when you were in New Zealand, weren't you?
Well, yes, kind of, but for me that wasn't really coming out. I'd gotten used to telling people, so essentially it was merely telling my friends that I was gay. And, all of them took it quite well, except one of my best friend's sisters. After I told her I'm gay, she thought I was joking. And then when she finally realized I was actually telling the truth, her face just sort of dropped. And she was like, "But I thought you were straight." And then for about 40 minutes afterwards, she goes around following me saying, "But why? Why, Daniel?" And I just have to give like random reasons, like because I am, because this is how I was born. And then my principal was coming up to talk to either me or her, but he was looking at one of us, and then he was coming up behind her and she didn't see him, and then she blurts out quite loudly, "But why, Daniel? Why do you like men's asses?" Yeah. And the principal got a very shocked expression on his face and just sort of turned around and walked off in the other direction.
Oh my god, that's one of the best. Can I say that as a coming out story?
Yeah,
that's the best coming out story I've ever heard.
Well, yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's fantastic. Did you ever went to any LGBTIQ groups?
No, I didn't. I remember in Masterton there was a listing under Rainbow Youth for a group there, but I remember ringing up Rainbow Youth and they said, "Oh no, there isn't one, but we're more than happy to help you start one." And at the time I was only 15 and I didn't really know what to do. So they said, don't worry, we'll email you with some information and we'll call you back tomorrow and just give you some tips on how to get started. And I never heard from them again.
Mm.
Which I suppose was both a blessing and a curse, because while I was out at school, like, if someone asked me if I was gay, I'd say yes and keep walking. I didn't prefer to keep, like, drag attention to it.
Mm.
And if I was publicised as starting a Rainbow Youth or a QSA, I know in my school that it would have brought me a lot more negative attention.
Mm.
Hell, in my final year, when I was still just carrying on this cavalier approach of just answering yes I am if anyone asked me if I was gay, there was this annoying year 9, and I guess he was homophobic or something, but I'm pretty sure he's gay too. He was just trying to act like a homophobe to try and divert the suspicion off himself. But I was sitting in the library minding my own business, completing an English project, when the little bastard starts throwing shit at me. And it went from pencils to random balloons to pens, rulers, and stuff like that. And then, just as he was about to throw a fully, like, a heavy metal stapler at my face, the music teacher, Miss Kiri, she grabbed his arm and said, "What the hell are you doing? Put that down." And she pulled him aside, and you could quite clearly hear her because she was quite angry. And she's like, "Why are you doing that to Daniel?" And he responded with, "But miss, he deserves it. He's a faggot."
Mm.
And I remember, I actually remember laughing first, because I was thinking to myself, wow, if there's anything, there's some misplaced anger here, because you're definitely not the straightest year 9 I've ever seen. But then I just got kind of angry about how that sort of image is ingrained at such a young age, mm. that there's so many people who just assume faggots are bad, and yeah.
I assume there was some screaming afterwards from the teacher to him?
Yes, there was. He never tried to throw stuff at me again, but he always gave me these ugly glares and stuff across
still
the classroom.
Still a little bastard.
Still a little bastard, oh yes, I don't think anything's going to change that. But yeah, he didn't bother me.
So, did you have any support of your sexuality?
Kind of. My friends were quite supportive, and there were quite a few of my friends who were really happy for me that I just didn't want to lie anymore. They were just like, "Oh yay, I didn't realize you were gay, but yay, I'm happy that you're admitting it and you're not hiding it." But I accidentally came out to my father, which is a bit of a weird story. What happened was, I used to talk to my dad online through a messenger, and his screen name was Gary, which is his first name. And I was also talking to my friend Gareth using the same program at the same time. And when I meant to type in Gareth's window, "Didn't you know I'm gay?" I accidentally typed it into Gary's window.
Oh dear.
And yes, that didn't end well. He logged off for 6 hours and came back on saying, "Oh, don't worry, it's only a phase." The impact was slightly lessened because I was in Ireland, it was through a messenger. But yes, it was still a bit upsetting. Though the next time I logged on with him, he asked me, "Oh, how are you? What are you doing?" And I ended up saying, "Oh, just watching my wife and kids." And I don't know whether to take this as offensive or a joke, or maybe a mix of the two, but then he just said, "Lol, you know you'll never have any."
Oh!
It could, but knowing my father, he could be trying to be funny, or it could be insulting. You don't know.
It's a two-way street, Carson.
Yeah.
He's probably both at the same time.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Probably just see what happens. So when was your first youth group that you attended?
My first youth group was actually here in Palmerston North. I attended UniQ for the first time in about June? No, not June. It would have been March was the first time I attended UniQ, and that was run by my now good friend Seth. And that was quite good because it introduced me to some people, etc. But I really wished I'd been introduced to like a gay group earlier, just because it's easier to talk to some people about certain things. And even though you might have really supportive straight friends, there are just some things that are really hard to talk to them about.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I do regret was not learning about the club scene or the gay scene in general from a youth group, because when I turned 18, the first thing I did was go up to the gay bar here in Palmerston North, which goes by Club Q, and I kind of jumped into the deep end without knowing about it. Like, the first time I was there, I was sort of cowering in the corner and I didn't know anybody. And the bartender was trying to make me feel welcome, and that's where I met one of my friends, Beth. Mm. And then my friend Matt came over and introduced himself to me, and like, oh, we've talked on Facebook, we used to text, and got the ball rolling. And and through Matt I was introduced to Beth, and through Beth I was introduced to my friends Anna,
and so on and so forth,
until I've got some really close-knit friends here that are like a second family.
Mm-hmm. So have you been in relationships before?
Yes, I have. My last relationship was January 2009, and it lasted for... it would have been January 2009 lasting for maybe 5 months.
Hmm.
And I have not been in a relationship since then, unfortunately. Oh, well, fortunately, unfortunately, depends on how you look at it. But yes, I haven't had a partner since then.
Why is that?
A lot of reasons. Just lack of compatibility and trust issues, I suppose. My first boyfriend was semi-abusive, and that's sort of left its toll on me. And I'm not like the greatest personality anyway, because I had a bit of I don't want to say abusive childhood, but a very, very shitty childhood, and it's left me with issues about dominance trust, dominance, and sort of... it ties into trust, the fact that they should be something than other than they're not. Like, with my dad, it was he should be nicer, he should be calmer, and a partner is like, expectations, yeah. It was like I thought I had realistic expectations, and because they weren't being met, I sort of like delved deeper into a little hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a bit, like, everyone has their own scars and their own bad qualities, but I have to say my worst one is probably, if things get a bit too intense for me, I just kind of burrow away into a hole. If someone's getting very, very intense, very fast, I feel bad for doing it, but I just sort of cease all contact because I can't really bring myself to do anything more.
Yeah. So you meet other people through, like... closet space, right?
Yep, that's where I first met a few friends, and from there I've met friends of friends.
And friends of friends.
And yeah, it's the whole 2 degrees of separation in New Zealand. Everyone just sort of knows everyone, and that's sort of true in the gay community too. But I've actually made some really good friends off dating websites such as NZ Dating, etc. I remember I was a regular message boarder on there, and a few of the other regular message boarders added me as a friend on Facebook. And when I hadn't met any of them before, and the first time I'd been up to Auckland for years, this message boarder who I never met before invited me round to his place for dinner, invited all the other message boarders, and cooked this wonderful 3-course meal as a sort of welcome to Auckland and nice to meet you thing. It was really, really nice, and he is an amazing cook.
And unexpected as well.
Yeah, it was so friendly and so nice, and I still consider him a good friend to this day.
Yeah. So, what is your definition of virginity?
Well, that's a tough one. Physical virginity? I sort of have different interpretations, because I think physical virginity is the act of penetration.
Mm.
I don't care if it's gay, anal, or straight with vaginal. But I think that is physical virginity. But then there's also emotional virginity, because there's this aspect of there's always the whole sort of like free-falling thing when you're opening up that personally for the first time. And I think emotional, like a true emotional losing of your virginity involves being with someone that you really care about and that you really trust deeply, and that you're both in a very good, maybe not even relationship, you could be like very good friends who are doing this, but you need to have a very good sort of communication and trust between you two. So yeah, I think there's a difference between physical and emotional virginities.
Well, thank you for the interview.
No problem.